Welcome to The Odyssey, a podcast by and about Mesa County Libraries. My name is Emmy.
My name is Bethany. Special guests include staff members who share their various passions and community members who serve Mesa County.
This segment is brought to you by the 970 West Studio. Tap into your creativity at the 970 West Studio. Talk to a staff member to see how the 970 West Studio can bring your digital projects to life.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. Today, we have a very special group of staff members here with us. We've got Trevor from Youth Services. Hi, Trevor.
Hello.
We've got Brevin from, what are you from? Public Services?
Public Services. Hi, Emmy.
Hi, Brevin. And then we have Elizabeth from Collection Management.
Hello.
Thanks for joining, guys. So I know a little bit about this. Bethany has no idea about this, but we are here today to talk about Mirrors and Windows. And Mirrors and Windows is a guided reading experience that Mesa County Libraries is launching May 1st, running through December 31st of this year. So do you guys want to talk a little bit about what that's going to look like?
Sure. We'd love to. We're excited about it.
Thanks, Trevor.
Well, I hope that I have all this information right. I don't know that I know all of it off the top of my head, but I believe my boss in youth services, Sydney Klink, saw something that a school librarian named Cicely Lewis came up with, something called Read Woke, encouraging her students to read books that were quote-unquote woke. So books that are about opening up your mind to things you don't know about, learning about other people and other cultures, reading about things that are about progressive causes, and reading in a way that is going to help make the world better. That's my definition. That is not her definition of what reading woke is. So I think Sydney was inspired by that and asked us to be on this new committee with her, us and others who aren't here with us today to record the podcast. And then we came up with a different name, our own name, I should say, Mirrors and Windows.
Brevin, do you want to talk about Mirrors and Windows? Because I think you were the one who brought that to the table.
Yeah, so Mirrors and Windows, and I am forgetting the name of the person who coined the term. If someone has that up, that'd be great. But basically the idea is as white people are the kind of dominant culture here in the United States, we often read things that are reflective of our experience. And so therefore we're kind of experiencing a mirror most of the time. So the point of the reading challenge is to, for not only us as white people to see windows of other people who may not have the same experience as us, but also people who are not having the same experience as us have that reflective experience as well.
And I feel like that really pulls into our Year of Focus.
Yes.
Like that's exactly what the Year of Focus is meant to do, is to allow us to get different perspectives than our own. Mm-hmm. So it makes complete sense.
Yeah. So actually, it wasn't Sydney who started this committee. It was Michelle who had asked us to do that to fall in line with the Year of Focus.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah,
no,
fun
cool.
fact, you guys. It's
Thanks,
coming
Michelle.
From the top. Yeah. So basically, what we're asking for people to do is participate in a guided reading experience to explore the stories of our diverse world. And hopefully you can discover the experience of others, and that will help you connect with your neighbors in Mesa County and wherever you decide to travel, once it's safe to travel, of course.
And Elizabeth, so I know you have some information about badges. This kind of functions in the way that summer reading does, right, where you can earn badges for reading different types of books. Can you talk to us about that a little
bit? Yeah, absolutely. So we're actually using the exact same platform that we use for summer reading, and that's Beanstack. And so it'll just be a new program in Beanstack that you can join. In order to get a badge, you have to do, I think it's 4 badge activities, which is to pick a book. We're in the process of making it at the moment, but they will be there May 1st. A bunch of lists that you can work off of, or you can find your own book that goes into any of the badge categories. So you find a book, you tell us what that book is. There's a couple of question prompts, mainly about what you've learned from that book. whether it was a mirror or a window, et cetera, that you fill out. And then there's a call to action. And so some of that might be telling someone about a book you read, sharing it with us on social media. We might be able to, we recently got a TikTok channel. So if you want to come show off what you learned on a TikTok, I'm sure we could find a way. You have to show us first on like social media.
But. Yeah, we're planning on doing some fun like social media challenges on TikTok where people can duet us with stuff or use our audio that go through the different badges that you can acquire during this reading experience.
Yeah, so we're really hoping to make it kind of fun and interactive. And so it's not just like, okay, you read and you check off the book. It's you read it, you find it, you discover really cool new windows to step through or a mirror if that's what you're looking for. If you fall into one of these badge categories, and then, you know, you connect with people and you connect with the library.
And we've talked a lot about the windows because we're taking this from the perspective that most people are white, and so they are looking through a mirror when they're reading. So what are the different windows, per se, that you can look through the badges?
Well, I just want to stop you right there just to clarify a little bit. I don't want to – I don't think we're looking at this as we – this is a big we, quote, we are all white. And right. So we're – because while those of us speaking right now are all white – and a lot of us on staff are, not all of us. And this isn't a program just to, like, fix white people, right, if you will. While I do think the dominant culture, and we probably all believe on the committee that the dominant culture, who happens to be white people, do need to learn more about people who are not in the dominant culture. Anyone, literally anyone, can learn from this. Learn about people who are marginalized, or just learn about people who are really different from you in a way. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, just had to put in a little bit about that.
It's very helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have 11 categories. So we have African American voices, Asian American and Pacific Islander Polynesian voices, ability diverse voices, women's voices, Latin American voices, LGBTQ plus voices, Native American voices, voices of those experiencing poverty and homelessness, Middle Eastern voices, Jewish voices, and voices of immigrants and refugees.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. But you have 10, 12 minus... I can't do math. What's May to December?
We have nine months.
Seven months? I got two different numbers.
Five plus seven is 12.
You have a long time.
Seven, you're right.
And you only need to read one book or watch a movie or listen to an audiobook.
Or read a comic book.
Read a comic book.
Or graphic novel.
All of the different formats at the library, like you can go onto Canopy and watch a video that relates to one of these designations. Like, it's a bunch of you can do whatever you want. You only need to do one per badge. And you need to complete eight badges in order to complete the challenge. But there might be a couple mystery badges, so...
So you can choose eight out of the 11 categories?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't have to complete all to complete the experience.
Yeah.
I'm going to pose this question to Brevin. Is this an age specific? So is this for adults only?
No, we tried to design this in a way that it could be applicable to anybody that's interested in doing it. And our reading lists, we've kind of creating reading suggestions anyway. You don't have to read these books, but suggestions for different age groups within each badge. But it doesn't really matter what age you are, you're going to be able to participate through the same portal, whether or not you're reading a kid's book or watching a documentary or whatever. So
this is around a great time where you can double up with summer reading. So the stuff that you're reading for the Mirrors and Windows challenge, you can also count for your summer reading challenge, and they're hosted on the same platform.
And 10,000 books before kindergarten is on the same platform.
A being 1,000 books before kindergarten.
1,000 books
down.
Before kindergarten. I'm clearly not a parent.
Trevor really, really wants books to be read to children. Really.
So the great thing about this interface for Beanstack is we're actually going to be putting book lists in each badge. So if you have, if you come up to, let's say you want to read about women for this one of these badges, we will have a book list available for you guys to check in Beanstack, as well as on the website, as well as in a handout form. So if you head to mesacountylibraries.org/mirrors-and-windows, there will be, currently at the recording of this podcast, a reading list for you guys to check out for each of those categories. And then it will be subdivided by age group as well. So if you're looking for something to read and you've got a kiddo or maybe a teenager, just know that when you go to the website, you'll be able to find an age-appropriate book, graphic novel, movie, what have you, available to check that box on that badge.
So all of you are on the committee. I am not. And so I wanted to get each person's perspective as to why you wanted to join this committee, because it is a time commitment. So obviously this is something that is important to you. So starting with Trevor, whatever you're comfortable sharing.
Yeah. I was very excited when Sydney told me about this idea and asked me to be on the committee. And the reason that I wanted to be on the committee, well, a couple of reasons. One is, as a straight, white, cisgender man, I try to be an ally to as much as I can to all the people who aren't those things I just said, because all those things mean that I have a lot of privilege, so much privilege. And I really want to try to be an ally to people who don't have that privilege. And this is a way to be an ally, and I get to do it at work, which is awesome. And I love that really the library itself is trying to be an ally to marginalized people in general, but especially this past year. And it just also so happened that I had recently been working on a series of book lists for the kids page on the website called Our Diverse World. And I was going through it and adding different categories and also making sure that I was getting the language right. So I was calling a couple of my Asian friends, Asian American friends, and saying, should we say this? Is this the most appropriate thing? Is this the most recent, most comfortable way to refer to people who are from this country or have heritage from this country, and things like that, just to make sure that we were using the most respectful language possible. So I'd been working on that a bunch, and then this came up. And Sydney said, hey, this really works out really well. We can probably use those book lists for this project too. And man, just reading a lot of these books has been really, really exciting. I've been learning so much over the past year, as of course a lot of us have been. And so this just seemed like a really exciting thing to do. And also hearing about who else was going to be on the committee, these really smart coworkers that I have whose opinions I respect a lot. And I know that we might disagree occasionally, but we have these really great conversations that can maybe get a little uncomfortable sometimes, but man, it's time to have uncomfortable mm-hmm. conversations. We've been avoiding uncomfortable conversations for, let's see, about 400 years, I think it is. Yeah. So that's why.
All right. Brevin, what about you?
I think the particular thing that I am really excited about and why I really wanted to be involved with this project was the power of stories for me. I think, I do really believe in advancing how we think about culture and diversity and that kind of thing. And I think that the way a lot of people think that they can attack it is by going to like some sort of a conference or, you know, listening to a talk or something like that. And while I think that those things are helpful, I think that something very special happens with stories where you feel like you're experiencing someone else's journey. And I think that like becoming a more aware and compassionate person is a journey, and that books are like, unless you're going on that journey actually yourself, books are the next second best thing, because how else can you have that experience?
Nice.
Wow. Real talk.
So you made me go last after these two gentlemen just put everything so eloquently.
So just say what they said.
Same, but for me, a lot of it is also the stories same as Brevin, but more, I get very frustrated with how much entertainment, mainstream entertainment in the U.S. looks all the same. I mean, it just does. I have lived in other countries. I've lived in countries where being white is a minority. Nothing at all like what minority people here face. But, you know, it's just odd to me that it all looks the same. And we're starting to see a change in that. And we're starting to especially see a change of that in the book industry. It used to be very hard to find books that, you know, really showed a diverse, a really, I don't want to say interesting because everything's interesting, but, you know, just takes you out of what you're comfortable with and shows you kind of the amazing, powerful things that are happening all over the world and all over the U.S. and people in different situations. And so in my job, I try to make sure that we have a representation of that here in our stacks on our shelves at the library. So when this popped up, I was like, yeah, I'm already kind of doing that. Let me, you know, help show people the amazing things that we have on our shelves that can help them kind of step outside of themselves and really connect with people.
Yeah, I mean, the library's mission statement is learn, discover, create, connect. With this reading experience, you're hitting three of those. You're learning something new. You're discovering more about a world maybe you had no idea existed. And that gives you the opportunity to connect with an actual neighbor who lives in Mesa County. Like, our Adult Learning Center serves so many minorities who are wanting to get their citizenship or learn English. And by, I think, having the rest of Mesa County participate in this allows for an open connection to happen with people who are, you know, immigrating or are of a different color of your skin. Like, it just, I think it allows a safe space for us to have that conversation with other community members.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Can we go back to Elizabeth just for a minute? I just wanted to say that one of the things that made me so excited when I heard that Elizabeth was on this committee is she has such a unique perspective, because you are the collections librarian. So if you don't know what that means she's the one who's buying all the materials. She's the one who's choosing the materials. And let me just tell you, let me brag about my friend and coworker a little bit. I think she does an amazing job. Well, and those of you who come in and browse and are always finding cool things on the new shelf, like, whoa, you guys have this? That's because of her.
Mm-hmm.
And to have someone who has that perspective and knows books that well and is daily working on making our collection really, really diverse and unique, and to have her on this committee, I just think that's awesome. So thank you for all you do, Elizabeth.
No joke.
Woo!
Well, like, Elizabeth, Collection Management has humored me, and every week we do a New Book Tuesday TikTok and Instagram reel. And for the most part, we've been able to kind of create little, not directions to Mirrors and Windows, but we did one that was all, like, women authors or about breaking the patriarchy. And just the fact, like, oh, yeah, like, we can pull, you know, a couple of these new ones, right? Like, she already has that stuff, like, ready to rock and roll, because that's the type of content she's purchasing for the library. Like, it's not a reach to have to fit a certain category that we want to put together.
Exactly. I've thought of that before. I don't remember what I was doing exactly, but it was pulling books for a display or something. And it was about some marginalized peoples. And I realized, well, this, I have way too many. I mean, I could make endless displays, because we don't just have a token book by a Black author, for example, or a token book about LGBTQ history. We have a collection of that, of those kinds of materials. And of course, I'm only mentioning a couple of things, but it just goes on and on and on. I'm really proud of our collection. I haven't scientifically compared it to other libraries' collections, but having worked here for 11 years, and there have been different people in Elizabeth's position too, and different people in the youth collection position as well. And I'm just really proud of our library. I think anyone who's considering doing this and maybe thinking, but I don't think I can read like a really big book on each of those categories, we'll be able to find you a smaller book or a graphic novel, or you want fiction that fits in with this category, or you want nonfiction. We're going to be able to give you so many choices. You don't just have to look at the book list. You could come and talk to one of us, and we'll be happy to find you something that will be right for you.
Even genres, like, I'm helping make the recommendation list. So if you're like, I just want to read romances all year, I will have a romance for you for every, well, maybe not every, most of them, most of these badges. So sci-fi, horror is a little tricky because there's not so much horror being written, but it's a lot more diverse in the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. Western's a little iffy, I gotta say. But there's still a few out there. So, I mean, if you're just like, I don't want to read, you know, some big history book or like some big literary book or something like that, like we can find you stuff.
Yeah.
Like Brevin was saying, it doesn't have to be like a difficult, we don't want it to feel like a school assignment. Although some people like that. My partner happens to love reading books that are like difficult. But like Brevin was saying, stories. I mean, I just read this amazing story called Prairie Lotus, a book for kids. And it's set in the American West, but it's about this Japanese girl not fitting in. And it's an incredible story. And you could read it mostly for the attraction to like finding out how people started up new towns in the West. And along the way, you get to maybe have your eyes open to what it was like to be a Japanese-American girl experiencing a lot of prejudice.
Yeah. And I was going to say, also just by talking to any staff member, Brevin and I both work in public services, which is where all the books come through to the central library. And so we're exposed every day to different types of items and authors coming through. So I feel like just by talking, if you would prefer to talk to someone rather than look at a list, you'll be able to get great recommendations for a bunch of different diverse books.
I think we talked about that with Rachel when we were talking about graphic novels. It's like, come find any staff member. Yes. And if you want to find like a specific nuanced, either by a certain author or a person of color, gender, what have you, if that particular staff member can't guide you, they will guide you to the staff member who can.
And also look at staff picks. I feel like we have a lot of different ones already on the staff picks. And there is a display at Central. And I'm not quite sure about the branches, but there's a tab on the website also that displays staff picks. Mm. So it's a good place to look as well.
Another thing I want to mention about these badges in particular. So I'm looking at, I'm creating the badges for the visuals for Beanstack. And we've got the title. So say, for example, you've got African-American voices. And then there's a description below it that says fiction and nonfiction materials by and about people of African descent. Mm. So if you're looking for fiction or nonfiction by a particular, like, to meet the requirements of that badge, there might be like the opportunity that it's not going to be so densely about something that might emotionally like stir you up to the point where you can't get through it. Like we're going to have a variety of things offered in each of those lists so that if you want to do something light for one category and then maybe go deeper and harder on another one, that's an option too. But we're having representation beyond just like that person's experience because some like, you know, I'm a woman, but sometimes my art isn't just about like being a feminist. Like it's just creating to create it and people can still appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, being lifting somebody up within one of these, non-white groups basically can just be consuming material made by somebody from a group that isn't part of yours. You know, like for one thing that keeps on coming to mind for me is the movie Us, directed by Jordan Peele. You know, I remember listening to him in an interview where he said that like, no, this isn't about black issues at all. The family in it just happens to be black, you know? So, and it's important to read or watch movies or listen to audiobooks or whatever that are just like that as well. It doesn't have to be a super hard thing where you're like really experiencing that person's world. It can just be like, oh yeah, black people make movies too.
Yeah. I really like this challenge because I definitely, as a reader of mostly young adult for a long time, it has just been mostly on with white characters, unfortunately. And I really like this list because it gives me an opportunity to find other books because sometimes that can be kind of overwhelming to go out and be like, I want to start reading more diverse books, but then you're like, there's so many out there. Where do I start? Mm-hmm. And so these curated lists are really helpful because it will give you basically guidelines to go through and also a bunch of different diverse topics because I feel like sometimes when you think about diverse, you're just thinking about race. You're not maybe thinking about differently abled persons. So I'm really excited for this.
Yeah. One thing we haven't talked about is hashtag own voices. I really feel like I didn't prepare well. I forget who created that hashtag, but anyhow, some wonderful, smart woman. And the idea is that if you are going to be reading a book about a Black teen and what they're going through, perhaps it would be best to if that book was written by a Black person, for example. And this is one that's maybe a little bit controversial, and we're certainly not saying that to get your badge, you have to read Own Voices books. We just encourage you to read Own Voices books. Almost all the books on my kids' Our Diverse World book list are Own Voices books. I would say over 90%. And there's just something important and something more genuine. And it does mean occasionally having to put a little bit of research into what you're reading. But I really do think it matters a lot. I'm not eloquent enough to put it into really beautiful words that make it totally make sense. But it matters who the author is and who the author's ancestors were, really. And perhaps we should read the books that were written by the people who are like the people they're writing about.
I thought that was very eloquent from
me. Oh, thanks.
Unless you're like a fantasy writer writing about elves.
Right.
Maybe not.
Elves are dragons.
Dragons, right.
Doesn't have to be an elf author, yeah.
Trevor, I'll put the hashtag own voices information in the show notes for people to follow.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. So I was on Canopy the other night because that's what I do. And for those of you who don't know, Canopy is an online streaming service where you can watch movies, great courses for free with your library cards. You get 10 play credit checkouts a month. And I'm a huge fan of John Leguizamo just because he's a phenomenal actor and playwright. And I just watched the movie Critical Thinking, which is based on a true story from 1998, and there's five Latinx, that's the description, but we've talked about what's the right name for that, Latino boys and a Black teenager who are in the undeserved ghetto of Miami, but they end up winning a national chess competition, but you see just the complete difference, I guess, from my life to their life, the struggles that they have to go through, the fact that they don't get funding for their chess team. It was a really phenomenal story. I'm like, just as I'm watching this, I'm like, this actually checks a few boxes from the mirrors and windows badges because you've got so many minorities. There's an immigrant who comes into play about halfway through the film. But that was a really fun thing that I thought might be good for somebody who doesn't maybe want to read quite right away, and because it's John Leguizamo, you know it's going to be good. It is a little more rough on the language, but you can always check those ratings on Canopy when you log into that. But that will be listed on the appropriate badge reading list, even though it's a movie. Does anyone else have any good reading recommendations to kind of kick this off for people?
I recently read a book, a nonfiction book called Highway of Tears by Jessica McDiarmid. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, but for people that don't know, the Highway of Tears is a long stretch of highway in Canada where missing and murdered Indigenous girls and women is like the thing that happens. The murders are typically clustered around there, and the police response is very lackluster. And so she grew up on a reservation. And she talks about I think she ends up talking about five different cases and goes through those and the perceptions of the families and the police and the town people in these very small towns where these murders are occurring. And it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. And I think for anyone who likes true crime but also wants to see into Indigenous cultures within Canada and specifically how women are treated within those cultures, that this would be a good book. It is in our catalog, and it's a new book, so I recommend that one.
Put it on hold if it's new.
Yes.
Well, I mentioned Prairie Lotus by Linda Sue Park, which is great. But another one that comes to mind that really, really blew me away is called Moxie by Jennifer Matu. And it's written for teens. And it came out in 2017, but Amy Poehler just made a movie about it. And I think she stars in it and directs it, maybe, that's on Netflix. And I thought, oh, well, I need to finally read this book because I had been meaning to for 3 or 4 years. And I was blown away, even though it is written for teens, probably specifically teen girls, it really hit me hard. And I'm a 46-year-old man. It's a really great feminist story about life in a really terrible high school where the guys, most of the guys in the school are really sexist and treat the girls terribly and act really disrespectfully to them. And the administration basically does nothing about it. And in fact, the administration gets on the girls. And of course, this is based on things that have really happened where the girls get in trouble for their dress code because they're saying you might be distracting the boys from their learning. And so the girls are getting in trouble. And this main character gets inspired by her mom's old tapes and CDs from bands that were part of Riot Girls. And if you don't know what that is, it was a feminist punk rock movement in the 90s. The main band was Bikini Kill, featuring Kathleen Hanna. And she really gets into this and especially gets into the song Rebel Girl and gets really inspired and finds out that they used to make zines. So like a small handmade little paper magazine that she distributes out the school and inspires the other girls to have these really righteous feminist actions. Man, reading it, I just remembered being in high school and remembered the type of people. And even though, of course, I wasn't a girl in high school, I still just remember like remembering a lot of those kinds of the kind of crap that you have to deal with in high school and the way girls were treated. And it's so cool. You just want to like cheer the girls in this book on. Mm-hmm. And the way it was just written incredibly well. And I can't recommend it enough. I kind of wish that every teenage girl could read it and be inspired to be tougher and to not put up with sexism in high school.
Yeah, or the lack of double standards, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of double standards.
Yeah.
What about you, Brevin?
I was kind of trying to decide what I was going to recommend. I've got two things in my head, so maybe I'll talk about both of them.
Sure.
One book that I just keep on recommending to a lot of people is called The Line Becomes a River by Francisco Cantu. And it's kind of a memoir of mostly when he was actually a border guard along the U.S. southern border in Arizona and Texas. And he, he comes from, and he's Mexican American, an immigrant family. And you just kind of, so it goes from him being a border guard to being somebody who's really active. And like his whole job is like being an activist for immigrants. And it's just really interesting to see like how things operate from both sides of, I guess if you want to call it sides, to him it almost isn't two sides. It's all kind of the same thing, and seeing what a complicated and nuanced issue it is for somebody who like lives it from every angle. Hmm. And then the other book that I think is really good is a collection of like little like autobiographical stories of different kind of, I guess, famous people, but it's a collection put together by America Ferrera, who did Ugly Betty, of course.
Sister of the Traveling Pants.
Oh, yeah.
And yep. And it's called American Like Me. Hmm. And it's kind of everybody talking, all the different people who write the little stories, talking about different times in their life where they come up with, I guess, kind of almost like blocks in their life where people are like, oh yeah, we do want somebody, but not an American like you. Mm. Like kind of her big example, I believe when she was either in middle or high school, I think she was a trying to get into a play for like some sort of like, oh yeah, this is like the classic American girl. And like, she grew up thinking like, oh yeah, my family's like this, like living the American dream. They immigrated from, I think, Honduras. And she was like, yeah, I am the most American there possibly is. And then somebody's like, no, you're not the American we're looking for.
Yeah.
And so it's just like a ton of different actors and authors and that kind of thing talking about when they came up on those type of instances in their life.
Those are two solid recommendations, Brett. Elizabeth, what you got?
It's a newer book. It's called Master of Poisons by Andrea Hairston. And she is an African-American writer, and she uses – it's a fantasy book, and it kind of takes place in a world where there's this poison desert that's eating up and coming closer and closer to the countries where people live, and they're trying to figure out how to – save their planet, but she uses a lot of like African folktales to inspire it and kind of explores them in how they try to find a way to, I would say, like problem solve the issues that they're faced. And so it was really interesting because, I mean, folklore and you know, fairy tales, those types of things really help shape how we see the world. And so seeing an entire world, an entire story where it's, you know, shaped by folk tales and traditions that I've never heard of. It was really good. I really liked it. Yeah. And then one, can I say one I'm excited for?
Yeah.
It's not published yet, but I've read the reviews.
And the reviews are in.
And it sounds really good. It's a nonfiction book. It's called The Unfit Heiress by Audrey Farley. And it's about how in 1934, Marion Cooper Hewitt was a socialite who had her quote unquote promiscuous daughter declared feeble-minded and sterilized without her knowledge. And she did this to deprive the daughter, whose name is Anne, of millions of dollars from her father's estates. And she was, yeah.
Like, her eyes were so huge.
Yeah. And, like, it was, like, a big thing because California eugenics law was, like, supportive of this at the time in the 1930s because eugenics was a big thing back then. And, like, it went to trial. So this covers kind of what happened. And then the trial that came after because Anne sued her stepmother for making her sterile without her permission. Mm-hmm. And it was like a big thing that ended up, yeah, it sounds really good. And like all the reviews for it that have come in, the review sources have been like, this is a great, like, investigative piece of, you know, historic nonfiction. So I'm excited for that one. I think I already have it on hold.
Wow, that sounds incredible.
Yeah. Doesn't it just like blow your mind? Just like, what happened?
That's interesting because that does happen in other parts of the world.
Right.
Specifically in India, where that's like a common practice where husbands declare their wives mentally ill so that they're sent to a like an asylum basically for the rest of their life without any way to prove that they're not.
Yeah, and they don't take that woman's opinion as highest value as the man's.
Yeah, wow. They're just condemned for the rest of their life. So seeing that as historic nonfiction is interesting when you compare it to the fact that that's already happening.
Mm-hmm. Or like it wasn't just, I mean, women who went through this. A lot of people of diverse abilities, like back in the day, you know, they were committed and they were forced to be sterilized or, I mean, other things without their consent as well. So anyways, I'm excited for it.
Wow.
Sounds I haven't good. Actually read it, so I can't tell exactly how it will be, but you can guess by my voice.
The premise sounds good.
Yes.
It sounds like one of those stories that I really want to read or watch because a lot of movies are made on very unjust stories. But watching and reading Injustice is so difficult because it fires me up so much. And I just want to like break down and cry or jump up and down and scream. Oh, my gosh. Injustice is so difficult to even read about an injustice that happened 80 years ago. But we need to know about them. That sounds great.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm excited for this.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really great first step into opening up more connections amongst the community. And moving forward, you know, we're always going to have Culture Fest. So hopefully that'll be kind of a fun way to wrap up the year and end it with super awesome reading experience. Mm-hmm. A lot of our book clubs that are going on are also falling in line with our year of focus, which is on racism. And so if you're planning on joining one of our book clubs, just note that a couple of the books that we read are going to be within like similar topics. So just starting like, what is it? How do you eat the elephant one bite at a time? Mm. I feel like that's kind of how this is. But I think the library is a great place to have this conversation start. And we're already hitting the ground running with all these amazing resources.
So on May 1st, where do I go to sign up?
So you could go to any of your local library locations, but if you want to start online, it's mesacountylibraries.org/mirrors and windows. And if you just head to the homepage, there's going to be a little tile for you to click on in case you don't remember mirrors and windows, but we've said it about 1,000 times today. and then there will be a link to our Beanstack app that you can download. The great thing about Beanstack is you can get the app on your phone or your tablet, whatever device you're on. I downloaded it for summer reading, and even though I haven't had the need to use it, it's great to keep just on your device for whatever. If you have a child and you want to read 1,000 books, not 10,000 books for kindergarten. So as we start to kind of grow our different challenge and experience lists, there's going to be more opportunities for people to use Beanstack, or you can log your books online as well. So, like I mentioned, go to the website to register on May 1st. We'll have some printed book lists available at all of our locations as well. So you can come grab a handout. But otherwise, we're excited to get this started off in May.
Yeah, and if you want, under the social media posting for this episode, which will also premiere right around May 1st, mm-hmm. Shoot out some recommendations of items that maybe you've read or watched or seen that you think other people could use for this.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest point is this whole experience is a conversation. Mm-hmm. So if there's things that are missing from our list that you guys want us to get, or we have it in our catalog and you want us to add it, yeah, shoot us a DM or a comment and we will add it to those lists ASAP. Another fun thing that we kind of like to keep on the DL, but it's fun, is you can request a purchase or suggest a purchase. under your account on mesacountylibraries.org. So if there is a book that is by an author of one of these diverse groups that you want us to see get in our catalog, give us as much information as possible and it will be directed to Elizabeth. And we will get that added and then circulated.
Yeah.
And don't worry.
It will be considered.
Considered.
Yeah. Whether or not
that's why it's a suggestion. Yes.
And don't worry if a book that you want to read has a bunch of holds on it. We share with a bunch of different libraries in our consortium. So depending on how many copies of the book, the wait time usually isn't that long.
Yeah.
And you can also go to Prospector, which is the Front Range libraries through our catalog, and also request stuff through there. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on to talk about this fun thing that we're about to launch. This is a great conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.